In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
The Lord gave St. John a vision. He saw all of the elect, both Jews and Gentiles. The reading began with after this. The this was the vision of the 144,000, 12,000 from each tribe. So he saw all of them, both Jews and then Gentiles, from every Gentile place, worshiping the Lamb. The Lamb sat upon the throne while they stood or fell upon their faces. That's the posture of praise and worship in Hebrew religion. It's also the posture of catechesis. It's the opposite, of course, of what we do. Our preachers and teachers stand while we sit, but their teachers sat. So it's significant that the Lamb sits as judge and as teacher. In the midst of this, John is pulled aside for a bit of direct catechesis, because in heaven there is still more to learn of God's mercy, and God's word still preaches. So John is asked, who are these, and where have they come from? It does not seem that John does not know, but rather that he is too awed to say it out loud. So the elder told him, these are they that have come out of the great tribulation. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Some feasts are necessary. We can quibble about adiaphora, about what bits are required and where reverence is demanded and what it looks like, but we cannot quibble about whether or not Christ's birth in Bethlehem must be celebrated. It must. It is not optional. You cannot be a Christian and ignore Christmas. You might observe it in July. You might observe it by eating snow cones or carving gourds, but you cannot ignore it. The reality, the details, that our Lord took up flesh in a specific way and place, that he was born under the law of a virgin in David's city, those details are not trivial. In them is our hope, our faith, and our salvation. And in the same way, you cannot be a Christian and ignore Palm Sunday, Maundy Thursday, Good Friday, Easter, or Pentecost. These are all essential events in the history of God's mercy to us, of who our God is for us, and of how he has rescued and redeemed us. And so it is that All Saints is also necessary. The elder is not training John for Bible trivia, but he is teaching him to confess. How All Saints is done and where and on what day is adiaphora, but the reality behind it is most certainly not. It is necessary for us to acknowledge and confess that those who have gone before us in the faith are not dead, and that we ourselves will not die either. These saints, seen by John, seem to have died, and yet they have in fact come out of the great tribulation. They passed through death and into life. What John saw fulfilled is happening already now. It's not merely a future event. It is described in Hebrews 12. You have come to Mount Zion and to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to innumerable angels in festal gathering, and to the assembly of the firstborn who are enthroned in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of the righteous made perfect, and to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and to the sprinkled blood that speaks a better word than the blood of Abel. We do not come to the stuff of the Old Testament, to a blazing fire and bloody bits of bulls and goats, but we come instead to the living blood of Jesus that is sprinkled through wine. We come to him who is the mediator of the new covenant in his blood for the forgiveness of sins. And when we come to him, we discover that he is not alone. We come also to the innumerable angels and to the assembly of the firstborn and to the spirits of just men made perfect. Their bodies sleep in the grave, but their spirits are alive. They are not dead. Their spirits are now made perfect. for they have been declared righteous, just as we are, but they have also been purified and sealed in bliss, as we will be, for they have come out of the great tribulation. So here is the point. No one who believes in Jesus dies. Who are these and where did they come from? The elder wants John to look and see the people who died and the people who have not yet been born, and to recognize the glorious fate of all of the elect. Whoever believes in Jesus lives. This is what we confess when we laud and magnify the glorious name of Jesus with angels and archangels and the whole company of heaven. We mean that no one who believes in Jesus dies. We mean that there is more here today than meets the eye. There is more than bread and wine. There is more than our dying bodies and weak wills. And there are more with us than we can see or whom we can count. Those who are with us are greater than the legions of demons that oppose us. The battle is already won, and the saints, the great cloud of witnesses, the whole company of heaven, declared righteous, holy, and innocent by the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. That is, the heroes of old, the martyrs and patriarchs, the apostles and reformers, and also the unknown and seemingly insignificant, even our own loved ones, they are here with us. And though no man can count them, they are counted, and even all the hairs on their head. They are united to us in Christ, for they are redeemed in the same blood. They confess and praise the same God, and they surround us with their love and with their prayers. It is necessary that we confess this, that no one who believes in Jesus ever dies. They have come out of the great tribulation. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. And soon we shall also see them with our own eyes. In Jesus' name, amen.